Okay, folks, it's 11:42, and we'll reconvene, and I think we're at debt service fund.
Thank you, Mayor. So the debt service fund, this is the fund that pays your bond payments. So we're projecting a beginning fund balance for fiscal year 2023 of about $9,000. Your total revenues with the preliminary INS rate of 0.12503 was proposed to bring in almost a little over 3.1 million in property tax revenue. Again, with the TNT calculation, truth and taxation calculation we received from BCAD this morning, that INS rate is actually 0.1253. I have asked for them to rerun that an additional decimal point because that does not completely cover our bond payments. It's about $1,200 off. We do like to have that INS to cover our payments completely. It does not cover our BCAD fees, but we do like it to pay our bond payments completely. And so they are rerunning that out to 6 decimal points for us. Excuse me. Sorry. And so we will get that reran. So it should be 0.12534 based on my calculation. But so it'll be enough to cover our debt payments. We're also projecting a transfer from the general fund of $50,000 to cover the deficit that would remain if we didn't do a transfer because our Bell County Appraisal District fees are also paid from this fund. Those Bell County Appraisal District fees are paid quarterly and they're split between the general fund and the debt service fund. What else do I want to say on that? So your total expenditures of $3,148,400 are mostly your bond payments. Again, that's 3.123700 in bond payments. The rest is your Bell County Appraisal District fees. With that transfer coming in, that will cause an increase in the fund balance of $28,400 and leave you with an ending fund balance of $37,377. And there is no fund balance requirement. I would like to call your attention to the last page of your debt service fund section, which is the 6th tab in the second section of tabs. Page 15, you will notice that through fiscal year 2027, we are proposing transfers from the general fund to cover any deficits that would remain just due to the Bell County Appraisal District fees. After that, there should be enough from those transfers to cover the appraisal district fees for a little while, where we won't have to do any more transfers from the general fund, at least through beginning 2028. And then we may need to start again. Okay. Is there any questions on the debt service fund?
Okay, Michael.
This is Michael Bach with Councilman Place 2. Aisha, you said it was, I'm sorry, I didn't write it down, 0.124 something for the INS?
0.1253 was the TNT calculation.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, please continue.
Yes, sir. So that brings us to your final fund, the general fund, which is the major operating fund in any city. This is going to be your 4th tab from the front. We're projecting a beginning fund balance of $14,565,180. Your total revenues is $26,441,300. That is with the property taxes. If you go to page 1, excuse me, of that general fund section, your sales and other taxes, number 709, sales taxes, you'll see under projected, we are projecting almost $10.5 million in sales taxes this year. We've been doing very well in sales taxes. And then a proposed budget for sales taxes of almost $10.7 million for next year. So we are starting to go off of our revenues based on the increases we have been seeing as far as sales tax revenues. The property taxes at the top of $11.4 million is based on that initial calculation by staff, and that will be updated for you again as we discussed earlier. Your total expenditures of $27,489,300 include the following proposed position changes: the addition of administrative support specialists that will replace the two part-time student clerical assistants in administration, the addition of a risk management officer in administration, which will be split with municipal courts. Again, that is the position that we will use part of restricted courts funds to reimburse general fund for. The addition of a full-time telecommunicator to replace the two part-time telecommunicators that are currently in the police department. The addition of a court administrator in municipal courts, and the deletion of a deputy court clerk in municipal courts. I'm gonna slow down. Addition of a code enforcement officer in code enforcement. Addition of two student summer library pages for the library. Addition of a crew leader position to replace a light equipment operator in parks. The citywide 3% COLA is proposed, and there is a change in the public safety pay scale, which essentially equates to about a 5% COLA for the public safety positions. And the same CDL stipend of $50 a month is proposed for those positions in the general fund that have a CDL. This equates to a decrease in the fund balance of just over $1 million. The expenditures in this fund exceed revenue due to inflation, these recruitment and retention activities, and a $3 million transfer to the fund to fund capital projects. You are looking at a proposed ending fund balance of about $13.5 million. This ending fund balance is not a deficit because there is an adequate beginning fund balance, and your fund balance requirement is almost $6 million for this fund. That is 3 months worth of operating expenses. Make sure I'm not missing something I want to go over. So far, this is where I want to stop for just a second and see if there's any questions on what I've gone over so far.
Okay. Any questions from the council?
All right.
Okay, please continue.
So then next, you have in your packet as well the outside agency requests. These outside agency requests are listed in your budget at a glance as well on page 7. The one that's not shown on this slide is the HOP. It is discussed on page 8 of your budget at a glance. They did notify city staff that they would not be requesting funding for fiscal year 2023, but they would reach out for fiscal year 2024, and they did also provide an estimate for 2024. Which is on the general fund forecast on page 21 of the general fund section. Excuse me. If you go just 3 lines above total operating expenditures on page 21, the general fund long range of projections, where it says outside agency payments.
Your general fund tab, council, and page 21, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and where are we on that, on 21? What line
on
number?
On 21, you want to go to outside agency payments, which is 3 lines above total operating expenditures.
Okay, got it.
Okay, if you look under FY 2022 projected, you have the $112,000 that were projected to pay this year. Your 2023 budget is the $112,500, which is the total of your prior recipients who have also requested funding this year. Your 2024 budget is $173,500, That includes the HOP's initial request, that what they stated they may be requesting for next year. That includes that in 2024 and going out. So we have that forecasted in there, even though they did not request anything for 2023. Again, they did go ahead and give us an amount that they may be requesting for 2024. Is there any questions on that?
That's, Ms. Michael Bonfus, Councilman, please, too. That's $61,000 that they're looking at?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's important with the HOP, again, that we know that, you know, how they're able to fund things now in this year, and we discussed this last year, but again, that number of $61,000 is significantly lower than what they had asked us before. I think it was like 140 before. HOP provides a very good service to our citizens, and again, as we've talked to them, that's how a lot of people get to work. That's how a lot of people get to HEB. That's how a lot of people get to the community, community center, and doctor's appointments. So we know that's important. But the thing is looking at the cost of this thing. That's something the council's really going to have to look at in the years ahead. Okay. So it's something that's good, but again, we have to weigh all those things. And again. Did we get any input on that from our citizens? Did any of that come out on the survey about HOP? Do we know?
I know there was at least one comment on that citizen survey in relation to HOP. Jerry, do you remember the specific comment?
Jerry Bark, Assistant City Manager. Mayor, there were a couple of comments about the HOP, about unable to get to locations and not running on the weekend.
Yeah, okay. All right, but those are things that are out there that we need to be cognizant of. Okay, anything else from the council for the finance director? Okay, please continue. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. So, Mayor, at this time, I'd like to hand it back to you, as we'll need discussion and direction on funding the Heart of Texas Defense Alliance for their requested amount of $17,000, the Harker Heights Chamber of Commerce for their requested amount of $50,000, Clements Boys and Girls Club for their amount of $30,000, and the Greater Killeen Community Clinic for their amount of $15,500. And Council, in your binder, their applications were included to refresh your memory about their requests. Thank you.
And can you give me that page number that breaks those down? I know it's in two different places.
It should be right behind your.
Right behind the general.
Oh, yes. They're right there. Thank you.
Okay, good. I see it now.
Yes, Susan
okay.
was kind enough to make a whole section for y'all.
Okay, good. I know where I am now, so that's good. Situational awareness.
Mayor, if I could,
go ahead,
we get
please.
Started on that. There's some procedural changes that we'll be doing with that or have been recommended by council in the past that we're planning on including this year. And I know Jerry's kind of got that language in terms of the contracts that we'll be. We do a contract with each one of these agencies spelling out what services they will provide, given that we're given public dollars for that. And so with that, I think we're changing that to have some additional items. So I'm going to let Jerry kind of cover what we'll add that's new to that, just so that council's aware of that.
Thank you, David. As we started this agreement with the entities that we are giving public funds to last year, each entity is specific to what their organization is on providing services for our citizens, as well as reports back to the City Council. We're looking at additional requirements such as quarterly updates to the council, as well as changing some of the payments to quarterly payments too, as well, instead of paying all in one lump sum. So those are some of the things that we're talking. I'm actually talking with a few of those entities that we funded last year to make sure that it didn't hurt their services. That's number one. And as well as if they need to get that information to the boards, if they have boards, to get that approved too as well. So I will have a copy for your next council meeting and put it on the dais of what we're looking at.
Councilor, any concerns on that, us making some modifications to that?
No, I think that's good as far as accountability, both for us and for them to be able to do that. Okay, so we'll take these things in order. Here's the Heart of Texas Defense Alliance. We've continued with $17,000 on that. Again, we get the updates from Colonel Sled, and again, a lot of the information that comes out, again, we've got a large AUSA chapter, but again, through HOTDA, we get a lot of that information. Again, we don't have a representative that's up there lobbying for us on these issues. So do we have any input on the 17,000?
May I just add that most recently they assisted us. There was a unit that Fort Hood was trying to acquire here. They were able to get that information out to the mayors. We can provide a letter of support for Fort Hood on that. So that's just one example of what HOTDA does, and that happened here fairly recently.
Yep. And they also supported us, too, as I mentioned previously, in our trips down to Austin, that Colonel Sled from HOTDA had gone down there, and previously Major General Cox, who's a Hark Heights resident, that he also had spoken up for us. So again, we've got that connection to provide the service. And again, they break this thing down. I think ours is just their pro rata share of the 17,000 for us. So any comments, Michael?
Thank you, Mayor. It's Michael Blanco, Councilman Place 2. I'm a firm believer in keeping the funding at 17,000 on the support of this organization, because they do provide us a lot of assistance.
Okay, Jennifer. Tony, you okay?
You're good.
With that? Linda, Sam, you go with that? Okay, so we got consensus for the 17,000?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, so we got that one. Let's move on to the Hark Heights Chamber of Commerce, the general fund, and again, they're asking for $50,000 this year. And this is in addition to the other items that we have, which are, what, 22.5?
Yes, sir. This the 22.5 was out of the hotel motel fund, so this is in addition to that, coming out of the general fund.
Okay, and again, most of the 22.5, is that primarily for the food, wine, and brew festival?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but again, just as far as the 50,000, and would you like to talk that out at all?
No, I mean, I'm for keeping it the same, because that's more for operating for the chamber and the businesses. And
okay. Anybody else have any comments on the 50,000? Okay, Sam.
So this is an operating expense for the chamber, mm-hmm. the 50,000. Mm-hmm. On the 22,500, I know they use it for the advertisement. Is it?
It's events, advertisement, and promoting the arts.
Okay. Well, I'm not, it's good to have that advertisement, but there is any way, like, if they don't use that kind of money, I mean, for us to know the rest of it, where it could come back.
They provide it in their quarterly report where it goes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I think it's fair for us to know if they don't use the whole 22,500, you know.
Oh, yeah.
To come back to the city, so.
Yeah, but fortunately we see the reports, and they have the advertising and all the reports and where the arts were pushed and all the money is accounted for.
Yeah. Does the council get those as well?
When we receive those, we do forward those on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they do have that accountability that the chamber does put those reports out on their expenses and how they're doing things on those allocations. Okay. So everybody, we have consensus on that, on 50,000 as far as going on, okay? Okay, good. All right, so 50,000 is good. Boys and Girls Club of Central Texas, again, 30,000 for them. Okay, Michael.
This is Michael Bompas, Councilman Place 2. Jerry, can you go over again what the Boys and Girls Club received? Because I understand they received a large sum of money.
Millions.
Yes, sir. The Boys and Girls Club of Central Texas received roughly $5 million from a very influential individual. And they are supposedly using that to facilitate and build some additional facilities and remodel, I think, one of the facilities in Killeen, too, as well.
Anybody else? We've had discussions with them early on. You know, a discussion with one of their board members also about that, because they know how the history. I mean, you can look in here and how much we've supported the Boys and Girls Club of Central Texas, especially the after-school programs they have at Eastern Hills, at Union Grove, and ones they've had. I don't know how active it is at the high school, but again, those are all positive things that we had. We don't know whether there were any metrics at all from a public safety standpoint, you know, as far as having these kids that would have been latchkey kids, but they had activities for them, especially like for Eastern Hills. They come right on over here after they've done Boys and Girls Club, and so we got a connection with our library, our Parks and Rec with them. So it's all a positive thing that we have that synergy, and especially, you know, the mission of what Boys and Girls Club of Central Texas, what they do. And again, Boys and Girls of Central Texas are not just Killeen, not just Heights, not just Cove, but they're down in Georgetown. They're a very, very large organization. But the fact they know that we've been very supportive of them in the years when they had some really had more financial challenges. I mean, they weren't really hurting at all, but we've been supportive of them, as you can see on the page in your binder. So they're asking for $30,000 again this year. And does anybody have any questions or comments about that?
I do. I mean, the Central Texas Boys and Girls Club is getting like $5.2 million, but overall, the whole organization has got over $280 million. And I just think that I would like to see that money, because I think they're going to be fine with that, with what they have now. I would like to see some of that shifted to some other programs, some newer ones, some newer entities that are coming into the fold. And I just think the money would be better spent trying to develop those as well, or at least a portion of it.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah.
I agree with Councilman Cantanaro. I just think that they have an abundance, and I don't want us to stop giving to them. And I know what an important part of it, what they provide for our citizens, what that is. But if we take some of it from maybe 10,000 and give them 20 and put it on a different program that may need it or a new program, I would be more acceptable to that.
Okay.
That's my thought on it. We still should give them, but I think it should be less.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'm in consensus with both those statements.
You, what's that?
I agree.
Okay.
I would like to add to that. I also agree that, you know, there's some very well-deserving other agencies that came to us and presented that I think we should look at. And, it, you know, we only have so much money to give out. I mean, it's a zero-sum game. But I don't know if we have any money in the general fund where we might be able to plus up, you know, a little bit without having to cut into adding to our taxes, our tax rate, or anything like that. But, you know, if we're trying to keep it all the same amount, what we've been giving over the years, then that's something we need to be aware of. But if we have the latitude of, you know, dropping what we're giving to one organization and then plussing up maybe with an additional amount if we wanted to try to fund one of the ones on the next chart, I'd be supportive of that.
Okay. All right.
Especially ones that feed Harker Heights. So.
Yep. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Anybody else on that? Okay. Mr. Halby.
Well, I kind of agree with everybody. You know, we should at least go like 20,000 and give the other 10 to other entities that may need our help too.
Okay. Okay. So we make a comment after I say this. So it says, so we pretty much have consensus to reduce the 30,000, to reduce that to 20,000, and then we're going to have the 10 that we may be able to apply to something else. We have consensus on that then? You good? Everybody good? Okay. And again, we'll do that to reduce Boys and Girls Club of Central Texas down to $20,000. Okay. And we're moving on to the Greater Killeen Community Clinic, which is located in downtown Killeen. Used to be called the Greater Killeen Free Clinic, but they rebranded. And again, they're asking for $15,000. We plussed up to them last year. We added an additional $3,000. And again, you know, most of these organizations that, you know, like David mentioned here, by getting reports on there, there's one thing that I don't think we had this year, that one of the things that used to, especially with Boys and Girls Club, for an example, we always asked them to come in to have the youth that were impacted have the parents, the whatever, to give testimony on how that money was being spent and how important it was. And I think that's kind of gone away here recently. So as far as these folks being able to tell their story, I know the Greater Clean Community Clink provides us the metrics, the number of people from Harker Heights that find their way to the clinic in downtown Killeen. And again, a lot of many of the ways they get there is on the hop. So again, they're asking for $15,000. And do we have any other discussion on that one?
They're asking for 15.5, sir.
15.5. Oh, extra 500.
They increased it 500.
Okay. I'm looking at my little deal here.
They did.
Sorry, Mayor, there was a mistake made on that summary. It is 15,500.
15.5, okay, because yes, that's sir. On the sheet back here.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, so 15.5. Okay. Any discussion on that?
Yeah.
Sam?
There is any reason for that increase from 12 to 15.5. They just, that's what they request.
Okay. It's back there. Good, 15.5. I don't see any specific thing on the funding application form. Am I missing something on that?
No, sir. There is no specific reason, and they do. They also incorrectly have that they received 15.5 last year. So
it sounds like a typo. We should just keep it at 15.
Possibly. That's possible.
We should just keep it at the same amount that we did last year.
Okay.
Okay.
Everybody okay with 15, keeping it where it was last year?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm fine with it, and I have something to say, too.
Okay, go ahead.
With the Greater Killeen Community Clinic, the one thing that has changed from the previous years is that with Angel and Destiny, they're doing those quarterly events that are here. So I definitely think that that's something good. The numbers aren't as high as I'm sure they're going to get because it's something that's new. But the citizens are coming in and they are benefiting from it. So I definitely believe that we should keep it the same so we can keep improving that program.
Okay. All right. So we're consensus on 15,000 with the council?
Yes.
Okay. Good. And it'll be 15 and not 15.5.
Mayor, also, I want to point out to the council that is one of the stipulations as one of their agreements that they sign is to bring those health clinics to our community too as well. So I just wanted you to be aware of that.
Okay.
Thank you. So moving on to our new requests. You had three new requests this year. One from the Peaceable Kingdom, also known as Peaceable Kingdom, and the amount of $25,000. The Armed Services YMCA in the amount of $14,000. And the Harker Heights Community Resource Center in the amount of $6,000. These are currently not in the proposed budget, so I would like your direction on these three. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to start and say, from what I've learned with the YMCA's budget, that $14,000 maintenance is in their own responsibility contract, so I'm taking that one off the table for me personally and would like to look at Peaceable Kingdom and the Community Resource Center to divvy the funds that we set aside just a few minutes ago.
Same okay. Here for the same reasons.
Okay, let's stay on variety and then we'll
go through.
That's fine, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, okay, so as far as variety, aka Peaceable Kingdom, again, a new entity there. Are you all familiar with Peaceable Kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know who they are, what they do.
Amazing things.
Okay, and again, down there off of 2484 in Youngsport. Again, it's interesting that they come to us after so many years that they've had that. They have a lot of support from Scott and White hospital over there, as well as some national organizations that, that help fund them. I would be interesting to hear more about them. I'm a little hesitant to be able to fund them at this amount right out the gate. Oh, yeah. And again, that's just my concern, Sam.
I think we should do something, but not this kind of amount. This, I
agree.
Mean, agreed. After we heard, you know, what they're doing, and I think, I mean, it's good to help, but I don't think this amount is a little high. So,
okay, Linda.
Not sure what the fair amount is.
Right. Well, I think that you know, my concern is that they're coming new to this. We really haven't come to brief us and to be able to get a full understanding on our participation in the whole as far as what they have coming to them and how much Harker Heights is impacted by Peaceable Kingdom. Jerry.
Mayor, I kind of want to kick the ball over to Jeff. Jeff has coordinated some functions with them in the past couple of years, I think. So, Jeff, if you don't mind just talking a little bit about Peaceable Kingdom and your relationship with Parks and Recreation. Thank you. Good. Linda, go ahead.
So I've experienced Peaceable Kingdom, and it is a great program. And I like the correlation between Peaceable Kingdom and our Parks and Rec department. But I agree with you, Mr. Mayor, that coming straight out of the gate at $25,000, I think that's a bit much. They do great things. I believe that. But I'm thinking somewhere along the line for first time, maybe $15,000 versus $25,000. And we do more work with them and have them being more of a part of the city, that we have more of a, you know, a relationship with them, that we're doing more with them.
Okay. All right. Jennifer?
It does say in here, if this is accurate, but 40% of the clientele is in Harker Heights itself. Okay. And then their program cost is
$14,250.
40%. But it said their total program expense is $14,250, just the program expense. So if we were at 15, we'd be right alongside of that amount.
Okay. All right. Tony?
I concur. I just also wanted to add that, you know, when I was doing some research on them, there was a lot of concern that they were a seasonal organization, and after some further research, they run year-round. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot more than just, you know, camps. They deal with a lot of the things they do is deal with children with cancer and just a whole plethora of things that are just really, really in tune with our community. So I think the $15,000 would be just spot on right there, especially out of the gate. $25,000 is too much.
Okay. Michael?
I think as well, $15,000 is a great investment into another organization that would provide opportunities for children in Harker Heights to explore new heights or new adventures and providing them quality of life and different things and aspects that they wouldn't be open to or available to. So I think that $15,000 would be well used for this.
Okay. Right. So do we have consensus $15,000 as initial with them? Yes. Okay. $15,000. Okay, next one, the Armed Services YMCA.
Jen, you had already started, and we're already on that one too. When they presented and they said it was for their, you know, the, I think it was a fixing, maintenance. I'm not with that.
It's a $14,000 pump is what it was.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I think we should not do it.
Okay. And, no? Tony?
I agree.
Okay, Mike?
No.
Okay, let's look at the consensus is zero for the Armed Services YMCA. And the next one is the Harker Heights Community Resource Center for $6,000.
I happen to think that this is an outstanding organization.
Mm-hmm.
It distributes food to people with food with insecurities. We don't currently have a food bank in our city, but we do have a need. It's an organization that just started. $6,000 for asking for a new organization that's less than a year old. I don't think that that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it provides a lot of benefits to the city.
Agree.
Okay. Jerry, what's their participation in Heights Cares Committee?
They attend.
Yeah.
Yeah, they attend the meetings. And they do some wonderful things on weekends. It's not every weekend, but I believe they also use their resources wisely, meaning they utilize the Clean Food Care Center too as well. And so it's a collaborated effort. So, you know, it's not one of those things where they would just use city funds. They're using the resources all over our community.
Okay. All right. And Sam? And okay. All right. Jennifer?
I agree. And mine's cut off, but it says 75% of theirs is in Harker Heights. So that's a huge impact.
Right.
So I don't think 6,000 was too much to ask at all.
Okay. Tony? Okay. Michael?
I think it's also, it's a great program. I just, my only concern was I want to make sure that we have oversight reports back to us on how this money is being spent, because we're giving it to another, you know, it's a nonprofit, but it's another church organization. I just want to make sure that, you know, we are getting accountability for the dollars that we're giving them.
Right. Okay. So we're good with 6,000 for the Harker Heights Community Resource Center. Okay. And I will make another comment. Reverend Leslie Tomlinson, she's the pastor of the Harker Heights United Methodist Church, and they're very active with our Easter sunrise service. I mean, she's come and give the invocation at some of our events. And again, there are a lot of things going on. And I think the fact is that if we plant this, there are other organizations that come to Heights Cares that do the same or similar things. And I think that we might be able to increase, have more synergy, that if they could possibly direct some of those things toward Harker Heights. Some of the organizations that participate in Heights Cares, they also do Killeen, do Belton, do Temple. But again, if we have something that's just focused on Harker Heights as a community resource center, I think that's the best effort that we have. So again, everybody's okay with $6,000 for this organization?
Yes.
Okay, that's good, 6,000.
And Jerry, I'm sorry, Mr. Burke.
It's Jerry.
if you'll correct me if I'm wrong, part of that contract also states that if they don't provide those mandatory quarterly reports, they are no longer eligible to receive funding.
The funding,
correct?
That's correct.
Okay, yes. So sorry. I just wanted to let council know that that's part of the contract that Jerry did make up, and part of that was due to some entities not providing those reports to y'all.
Right. Okay. And Michael.
So if we're fine with these numbers, the Aisha, the question, we're plussing it up $11,000. Mm-hmm. So is that money available without detrimentally hurting anything across
but we just dropped
our budget?
10.
Let's see. So basically what you're doing is in decreasing your fund balance by $11,000 more.
Okay.
So it is available. It's just a matter of whether or not you want to do that.
Yep.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Anything else on these outside agencies? Okay. We don't have any of us out there hanging out, do we?
No, sir. And okay. if we do, they're too late.
Okay. That's good. That's the answer. That's the answer. Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to the
yes,
next
sir.
Item.
So deficit spending, which is always something that comes up. Yes, the expenditures in the upcoming year exceed the revenue proposed. However, that does not equate to the city operating in a deficit. We do have sufficient beginning fund balances in all of our funds that with those funds that end up decreasing their fund balance, we do not have a deficit fund balance at year end. The capital projects fund, as an example, is spending prior year bond proceeds or prior year revenue to fund projects that are part of the current and upcoming fiscal year's expenditures, and transfers are being made for projects and purchases that may not be able to be started or completed before fiscal year end. This has been especially true since the pandemic. So I'd just like to point that out. Yes, we are spending more than we're taking in during this current year, but from prior years, we still have money. So the city is doing very well. The next section is your fee schedule. That is the last tab in your book. All of your department heads are here and available. Hopefully they're available for any questions that you may have. We also included last year's fee schedule. That fee schedule has any information highlighted that has been changed. The proposed fee schedule has changes in red. So please let us know if you have any questions. Again, your department heads are available to answer those questions, because a lot of those questions I'm not going to know.
Okay, Michael.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Bonkus, Councilman Place 2. I know last year we were bringing things online to be able to pay online, especially with credit card. How has that been working for you? And are we fully transitioned over to that, so it's available now? Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on the fee schedule? Okay. Do you have anything else to add on the fee schedule?
No, I would like to point out, just in case you missed it, because it's always a big thing for water, but we are requesting that the water meter deposit be increased from 55 to 65. If you noticed in the comparison, it's still lower than other cities, but that's just to cover the base bill. It's still not even a full month's bill of someone with usage, but it's still just to cover at least the base bill of someone who leaves the city. So we are requesting that increase. So I just want to point that out. But no, that's all I have on the fee schedule.
Okay, Sam.
So how did that impact fee affect the new budget, on that, the new impact fee we signed?
How did it affect the budget?
Uh-huh.
As far as?
Did it help these fees? Or?
Well, I haven't included any revenue from that yet, no.
But we had, so Sam, we've not received any impact fees yet. Remember, they have that 1 year from when it's was done. Yes,
yeah.
And so we've not received any. So it wouldn't. There's nothing in your budget at this point to reflect that. Thank you.
Yeah, Linda.
So the tech fee, those are new fees, or they have been changed?
Those, and I'll let Christina go into more detail on how they've changed. But those are not new fees. But Christina, please.
I have one additional question on the fee schedules. How is the false alarms for fire and burglary alarms been working in the city? Because we've seen some comes to the council on occasion that somebody, you know, has a false alarm or whatnot, but how's that been working generally?
Councilman, my information is a little off the cuff here and a bit dated. but just talking to Mayor Clay, I know from discussions we've had internally in the police department that we still have the false alarm process in place. We're still getting those reports. We compile those reports. We refer them to the city for handling them. I think there's been some positive connections on our end that we discovered internally within the last few months that I think have been rectified. The system, I think, is working, but I do think there were a few glitches in it that we probably have already rectified from what staff has told me.
Yeah.
And so we're doing that. Okay, well, I don't know about raw numbers. I know the data. We were dealing with 1,200 or so false alarms, burglar alarms a year. And I don't know if anybody knows what it looks like now.
I don't know what the totals are. I know about once a month y'all bring them to me, Julie. Is that about once a month that y'all bring them to me to sign? I had the code. When Bert did that, he made me the administrator of the alarm deal. So I had to sign all the letters. And then so when council does see them, it's when they appeal that. And I'm quite frankly shocked y'all have not seen more on appeal because we've gotten quite a few. I've signed them each month. They bring me a big stack. So we do bill out. That is a very active thing that we do. Again, about once a month, they bring me a stack and in a folder to sign. And so we are sending those out, and I guess they are paying them. So.
Randy, what's our number?
July 2022 numbers were 120 alarms across the city for burglar alarms, robbery alarms, of those sort. 120 alarms is what we responded to in the agency.
In 1 month?
In 1 month. That was just July 2022. Wow. The month prior was very comparable as well. So,
it's still a considerable part of our workload. When you figure that's four of that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think we do have some increased compliance with the ordinance since it was instituted a number of years ago. People are kind of trained to understand it, so I think that's most of the time to pay the fees. And the police department has historically been very diligent about understanding exceptional circumstances. So if we pick up on an exceptional circumstance without a warning, we kind of have the administrative ability to keep that number, and we don't. Historically, I don't think we've ever been hyper-aggressive about forwarding those. We wanted to make sure that when there were six on record with the city, that those were six real negligent responses on the part or faulty alarms on the part of the owner.
The one thing I would ask additional to that, and this is more specific to my concerns, but are the responses y'all are going out to, are they accurate? Are they going to the right address?
Yes, the responses are accurate, the findings are accurate, everything is being double-checked to make sure. As far as the billing process and everything, just like Chief Ginger mentioned, it's only billed whenever we can verify that it does meet the code of ordinance for the fee schedules and the alarm reports. So everything is up to snuff on it.
All right, thank you.
Still, 120 or so we're doing a month, I would venture way over 90% of them fall. We've got a lot of alarms in the city.
That's only going to get more.
But we have a duty, I think,
right. Yeah.
To take care of our citizens and make sure there's not something going on. I don't mind. I'd rather answer 100 false alarms than
not answer the right one.
You know, but as the city grows too, and that's another reason why the police force has to continue to grow with the city. So you can answer these alarms because, you know, you've only got so many people that can go out on patrol or so many vehicles that can go out on a call. You know, we need to look at continually to grow our services, specifically with the police and fire, to service those calls. Because, you know, if you got 120 this month, you know, what is it going to be next year, 130? You know, it's going to continue to slowly go up, I'd imagine. So that's something.
I think it would be beneficial for everyone to understand. This is true. I think with both police depends on environment, but we do still respond to the alarms, and I don't see a justifiable reason for not doing exactly what we do, because I think it's a service-oriented position to take. It does cost money, but I want our people in our community to be confident that if they need us, we're going to do everything we can do to be there for them. And I know the fire department feels the same way. They have a responsibility to manage their resources in a way that we don't get abused. We have a responsibility to respond in a way that they don't get neglected. And if we do that from both sides, we're going to have a well-run operation.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Linda.
As being decades ago having a alarm system and being one of those residents where I had multiple calls to my house for false alarms, I can say that it does work, but I readily would pay it if it came out and it said that I had to do it. So I think that's probably why you don't have very many citizens saying, opposing it and saying I don't want to pay it, because we learn from it. It's almost like trial by fire. But I definitely appreciate PD and our FD. You know, FD has a special place in my heart forever and ever. So we need our services. If we need them to be improved, or if we need to fund them more, I'm always in for that. So.
Good.
No questions.
Good. Tony.
Chief Gentry, just real quick. Since it does cost to answer the false alarms and stuff like that, I know a lot of other municipalities have permit fees. They'll have alarm permits, and they'll sell a fee or something like that. Would that help offset that? Like, I know in Dallas, when I used to live there, we would have to pay an annual fee to have our permit for $50. And when I had my business there, it was $100 per year to do that. And that went to offset the cost of answering false alarms. And it also gave the police department and the fire department, I would have to fill out a form. And that gave you an idea, like if I had an elderly person living in the home, or if I had dogs in the backyard, that kind of thing. Just stuff so you wouldn't just be walking into a situation cold. So I just was wondering if we had permit fees here, like other municipalities, if that would help out the police and fire department financially.
Unless something has changed, we don't have alarm permit fees. Is that accurate?
Correct.
Am I accurate?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it.
Especially when you're dealing with retired, fixed income, maybe disabled people are inhibited from defending themselves. It was just a judgment call.
Okay.
That was made by the decision makers, and I was a part of that discussion. We didn't want to disadvantage people for having an alarm.
Sure. Okay. Very good.
Okay. Anybody else on the fee schedule? Okay. Do you have anything else on the fee schedule?
Sir.
Okay. And the next item is?
Final remarks.
Okay. Do you have any final remarks?
Yes, sir, I do. I hate that Susan had to excuse herself, but I just wanted to thank my staff, especially Susan, who had to excuse herself, because they provide me with a lot of assistance. Susan especially is my right-hand girl, my right-hand lady, and helps me a lot. She helped me a lot with this book that y'all have in front of you. My utility staff helped with that utility comparison that you have in the back of your book. And when they're able to do their jobs, then we're able to do our jobs. So I just have a great, wonderful staff. To the department heads, thank y'all for your input and all your assistance in getting this budget together, especially Christina for your idea on the fee schedule. although it gave me a little bit more work, I do appreciate it. The fee schedule looks great, so I appreciate that idea. To the assistant city manager, thank you all for your support, your patience with me. I appreciate y'all very much. And to the city council, thank y'all for your support. I appreciate you as well. So that's all I have as final remarks.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from the council? Michael.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. You know, this is, I think, the fifth iteration I've gone through with our budget. And, you know, I've always asked, I think every time, you know, how can we lower our taxes if at all possible? You know, we want to try to do, we want to maximize our services for our city at the lowest cost possible. And we understand that everything has a cost. You know, if we want to do something, we have to give up somewhere else typically. But again, y'all have been very, very efficient in developing this plan and putting this budget together for us and keeping us balanced. You know, like you said, we're not going out and borrowing money to run our city. And that's an attribute to leadership and management from you and your team and all the directors. You know, you all do a very, very great job of being efficient and managing your departments, your directorates, and helping run our city in a very efficient manner for our citizens. So I want to say thank you for all the hard work you do and making our job easy and giving us the informed information to make the right decisions. So I'm glad to see what we've come up with for our budget moving forward. So thank you.
Okay, good. Tony?
No, I'm good.
No, Jennifer? No, Linda?
I do. Aisha, I just want to say thank you for sure for you and your staff for the outstanding work that you do in keeping our city, our budget very well balanced and overseeing that. But there are two areas that that really stood out to me. The 3% city COLA raise, as well as the DV exemption, that I just wanted to say something about both of those. But the 3% COLA increase for our employees, and when you compare it to what inflation is, I really would like to see something, some type of action item to where we could try to, you know, balance that out so that our employees, that they're able to take care of their families because of how things are, gas prices, food prices, electricity, all of that has gone up. And I know 3%, it will do some, but it won't do it all. So maybe something to offset. I like the CDL having that bonus on there, but maybe there's something else that we can do for our other employees, maybe.
Well, and one thing that I did fail to mention is that our health insurance costs are going down. It's an overall decrease of 2.4%, if I remember correctly. So that is going to give some relief to our employees as well on that side.
I like that. And the other one for the DV tax exemption. I said this last year as far as being a resident and actually being on the council, that it's a lot easier to be on the sidelines and criticize what you're not actually a part of. So for any resident that's listening or that's here, I would just encourage you to be a part of the process, if not to understand what the process is for us to be able to balance our budget. And we have this unfunded mandate that we are that is imposed upon us. So if we get, instead of DV shaming our veterans, if we got behind our representatives who fight daily for us to try to get this mandate, unfunded mandate, to get it funded, to get behind our representatives, be a part of that process so that can change, that seems to me that that's the better way to do it. I don't know much about coaching football, but I could tell you everything that they do wrong when I'm at home in my Panthers jersey. But being on the actual team, you know a little bit more. And being on the council, I see things differently. So when you're the average citizen and you think you have the answer to it, I'm not saying that you don't have the answer, but come and be a part of the process. And we do have a process. We have our representatives that go to the state capitol. You can speak, you can try to get it overturned. It's not the city government of Harker Heights that put this mandate in there. The federal government did that. The state did that, rather. So that's how we need to follow through on that. So those were my two things that I see. And again, great job.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Sam?
Well, I just want to say this. You know, any successful entity or corporation, which is the city consider a corporation, it needs a great leadership to start with, and that's what we should be so thankful in Harker Heights, that we do have the great leadership, starting from the city manager, mayor, council members, and staff, other staff. And this is really phenomenal, I mean, to have a great leadership in the city. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Mitchell.
Thank you, Mayor. And I'll just piggyback off the other comments that are here. And I hope staff's listening to council's love for you because it's well-deserved. I'm extremely proud of you, as you know. I always make sure I share that. Shared it with Rotary this week, and was well, our council is well aware of all that you do. Finance, thank you all so much. Great presentation, as always. And if you know, council, there's some additional things. As you look through your packet, you may notice that Aisha added this year. She's kind of putting her own touch on that, and I really do appreciate that, making it hers. But it's providing us with more information that helps us forecast, look out long range, kind of see how things will impact us. So great work from her team, and especially Aisha there, and as well as our directors. I mean, y'all worked hard putting this budget together. It's been many months. They get to see the culmination right now, here we are. Kudos to my team. I appreciate you, and council, thank you so much for your time and support. As I've always told you, you make it easy for us to understand where we're going, because y'all are steady hands at the wheel. We kind of understand, you know, the direction you want us to go, and it helps us when we visit with citizens or developers, when we're putting together a budget. It just gives us a lot of direction, just knowing, again, y'all are very constant hands at the wheel. We kind of know what it is you desire, and so it helps us stay within the line so we can bring you a product that is good for you. So, again, thank you as well to the council.
Okay, good. Well, the mayor's comment is amen and amen. And the time is now 12:45, and we're adjourned.